We're back, and Mayor LaToya Cantrell joins us in the studio. She has made the presentation of her 2019 budget, a couple of meetings with the city council. This is the first time that she sits on the other side of the dais as it relates to coordinating with the council, and I'm sure it's comes from a different perspective. Mayor, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Newell. It's always great to be here with you.
I'm sorry, we're having a little mic difficulty. There you go. All right.
All right. Am I on?
You're on.
All right, very good. Thank you so much for having me. You're absolutely right. First budget on the executive side of the hall. So far, I would say so good. We're going through the budget hearings. The New Orleans City Council began them on last Friday. The proposed budget 19 truly does set the priorities really for my term. That's the approach that I've taken to this. So not a just a 1 year type of glance, but looking at it holistically, looking at, of course, public safety. Infrastructure is a big, big priority, both the physical infrastructure as well as the human infrastructure. Cleaning up the city is a big priority as well, getting the trash out of people's eyes, not just trash on the ground, but blight, overgrown vacant lots. I do believe it has an impact on the city's ability to continue to see development going and sending that message that the city of New Orleans is ready for business and we take care of our city in every way. And so setting that tone, very excited about a 10% increase to our civil servants, those who are classified employees. That will capture about 2,700 of them. I have a ways to go, but it is a start in the right direction. And with the fire department being a part of that, it's a big, big deal as well. It's been over a decade that our people have seen some investment in them.
Mm-hmm. And that's always, an issue trying to find a balance in the dollars available in the budget. And I know that oftentimes the public is very critical of that, but the facts are you have a lot of good people that work for you. You need to pay them appropriately in order to keep them. Otherwise, your attrition rate just keeps growing, growing, growing.
Absolutely. And people have to understand the turnover, there's a cost to that. You know, and if you continue to lose people and turn over, you cannot build the foundation to be sustainable, to give the citizens the service that they really deserve.
So I'm going to go to my favorite topic, crime and law enforcement.
Bam.
And I saw that you're making a significant investment in the real-time crime center, the monitoring of the crime cameras, the deployment of over 100, I think, new crime cameras around the city. Tell us what your experience has been thus far and where do you see this going?
Well, first of all, I have to say thank you to you, man. When you were sheriff, you allowed me to come on over there, look at the Fusion Center in Jefferson Parish. I brought council members with me as well. We then led that effort to bring a real-time crime center to the city of New Orleans. It's about 1 year old, and I tell you, just the opportunity is just, we can go far with this real-time crime center. It's helping us be proactive in addressing crime. The crime cameras, we're seeing them expand throughout the city. But I have to say, through our work with Homeland Security and Colonel Ebert, we have increased our capacity by pulling in the cameras at the port, our colleges and universities, looking at our businesses. So being able, our hotels, which is increasing our footprint within the real-time crime center. We're also looking at it in terms of illegal dumping. It's helping us when we're seeing when rain is happening and flooding may be occurring. We can see that in real time and get trucks out there. And so we're looking at this as being a holistic approach to crime fighting, as well as improving our daily quality of life. It's working.
You know, I think that force multiplier approach is going to reap many benefits for you guys, obviously. Recently, there's been some criticism by the French Quarter Businessmen's Association. They're concerned about some recent occurrences of crime, some shootings, actually, mm-hmm. that I think have a lot of folks kind of uptight. Y'all did make a case on the crime camera where you saw a guy getting out of a car.
With a gun.
With a gun,
yes.
Putting it in his waistband. They were able to take him down several minutes later after he had gone back to his automobile to drive out of the French Quarter, which was, I love reading those stories.
Yes.
What specifically are the strategies that are going to be deployed in the French Quarter? Because there seems to be right now a lot of unrest there.
Well, what I will have to say is that all of those incidents in the French Quarter have been cleared.
Yes, they have.
Right? So we got to, although things are happening, where our officers are boots on the ground, and they are clearing these cases, making this
and
city
safer. And
for
the record, I remind people of that.
Oh, yeah. It's important
now. I follow it that, you know, you get that knucklehead off the street, and he's not out there doing it again, sticking a gun in somebody's face.
That's exactly right. But coupled with that is cleaning up the quarter, which is also cleaning up the city of New Orleans, the vagrants. We have to address that, and we're working on that aggressively as it relates to it. The homelessness, we have the low barrier open, but we're not where we need to be, and so there's a real focus on that in our budget in 2019. A sobering center is baked into the 2019 budget. Again, illegal to be land, you know, in doorways and storefronts and in front of our businesses, intoxicated. So I believe cleaning up the quarter will have a tremendous impact on public safety overall. I'm putting in additional resources there and beefing up the contracts as it relates to sanitation there. So it really will be a real focus on the quarter, but citywide as well.
I've had and hosted a number of shows about the difficulties and the challenges of the homeless population. Mm-hmm. San Diego is a mess. L.A. is a mess.
San Francisco
has been referred to in the same vein as Mumbai, India, and Delhi, India, mm-hmm. as two of the most filthiest mm-hmm. Cities in the world. And I have family that lives there, mm-hmm. so I'm connected.
I do too.
And, you know, I stay current on that. And everyone tells me if you don't get out in front of that issue, it's an issue that will get away from you in a very quick fashion.
Well, and I think that we have seen where years have gone by with little enforcement across the board. So I'm looking to bring in enforcement, the capacity within our safety and permits, with code enforcement, with sanitation, literally breaking down silos with departments all around this effort to clean up the city. And so you have to have the resources there. We're targeting, making sure that happens. But we have to ensure that we do what we say.
All right, we're going to continue this conversation. Stay with us. Mayor LaToya Cantrell, the presentation of her 2019 budget to the council. And for the most part, it's been well received. And we'll talk more about that when we return. Stay with us. This is Newell on WWL. We're back, and joining us in the studio is Mayor LaToya Cantrell, and she's just released her 2019 budget. Mayor, we were talking about a number of things in the law enforcement perspective relative to the homeless. I know that you said you had opened the low barrier shelter, and there's been always there's some operational issues in moving them there. Y'all were able to fill it up, and they're trying to transition them into more permanent housing.
Yeah, we were able to fill it up. It has been truly going well. The bottleneck is moving people into permanent supportive housing or even rapid rehousing. Unity is that continuum of care organization by the state and the federal government. And so we were told that there were an upward of over 142 units available when we did open. And we've only been able to move less than 20 of them to housing. So that's the bottleneck. And that's really where my focus is right now, working through this with Unity, because we feel that we should be able to move people faster, at a rapid pace, to housing units that are available. But what I'm finding out, even the list doesn't even make any sense. You can be on the list, which they say you have to go through the process and go through the VESTAT to get on the list, but you can be at the bottom and pulled into housing. You can be at the top and be put at the bottom. So I'm just looking for a better process that will really help people.
I noticed that y'all have had some sweeps as it relates mm-hmm. to the homeless. You know, the first impression's a lasting impression. It's human nature. You get off the interstate and you're facing the tents. And I know the frustration of it because you clear it out and then a day later everybody's back.
Well, about that, now we have made progress in the past 2 months where we have cleared Cleveland. Mm-hmm. We had a large encampment along Cleveland. We have since put up even iron fencing, trying to locate a particular area where I can pull. You know, there's some school of thought around that, but our folks are on the street all over the city. If I can get them in a central area, at least to begin to triage and help and work through the issues there, I think we'll be in better shape. But the low barrier shelter has been a success, but we have to scale it up. I'm looking to opening a sobering center at the beginning of the year, which will also be very helpful getting people off the street and to rehabilitative care. So it's a process, you know, and it's one that's a priority.
Absolutely. Let's talk about infrastructure for a second. I mean, there was some criticism about the budget relative mm-hmm. to the Department of Public Works. Let's talk about that.
Sure. The Department of Public Works has several million of unspent dollars. And so what we're looking to do is, for this year, we had to have a carryover budget, looking to a zero budgeting process starting with 2019 in January, making sure that departments are aligned in terms of their budget allocation, are aligned with results, getting things done. So I'm not looking to put additional resources when there are already dollars there unspent. What I am looking to do in January, that first quarter, to look at and elevate and increase the Department of Public Works based on the spending and the allocation of those dollars. We have recently hired our permanent DPW director, excited about that. And so the leadership and management is very much important, especially when you're talking about increasing dollars. Infrastructure is a priority, and my priority right now is spending the dollars that have been allocated to DPW, and they will continue to see growth in those areas in terms of revenue, and we're going to make sure it happens. But make no mistake about it, it is not overlooking the public's priority of infrastructure.
A number of folks ask whether the streets department is actually under DPW.
Yes.
And the monies that were available to the city in the previous administration from FEMA, mm-hmm. Roughly over $1 billion, as I recall.
Over two, actually. Uh-huh.
Yes. Has that been fully expended?
No, it hasn't.
And where are we on the timeline as it relates to those projects?
The timeline is ticking right now. You know, I'm the woman who, you know, after the can has been kicked down the road, I'm the woman who bends over to pick up the can. So with that, I'm making sure that these projects are actually out of the door. I inherited a bucket of resources as it relates to we call it the joint infrastructure recovery request, and that was at $2 billion there. 1% of those dollars were spent. We're up to 20% under my administration because it's a priority. We cannot lose these dollars. And FEMA has been working with us. Every month we meet, and the progress has been significant, and we're really praised by FEMA in that regard.
So how much strain has that put on the existing staff of DPW to be able to manage and expend those dollars in the street rebuild? And is that why there's surplus funds in DPW now, because we're trying to spend down the FEMA dollars?
Well, it's a part of, one, we have to spend down the dollars, but truly it has been a lack of coordination, to be honest with you. And so we've brought back our every week, and you know, our team calls it, they're going to Camp David. So we go to a location in the city away from City Hall, bringing in all the partners associated with that joint recovery program. And so they're talking, they're collaborating, and we're moving projects. It was literally just that simple. The silos, we have to do away with them, and we have within this Cantrell administration, which is a testament to how we've been able to move and push these projects out.
So you've adopted a more aggressive timeline, and thus far on some of these projects, are y'all meeting that timeline?
We're meeting the timeline. We're actually exceeding it based on the commitments that we've given FEMA as well as our state partners. And so they're very pleased with the progress we're making. It's a no-nonsense approach, but it really did start with bringing everyone together, bringing them to the table, working out the kinks, working out the bottlenecks, and getting things done.
Now, the handoff between DPW and some of their infrastructure projects that include drainage.
Yes.
as it relates to the picking up on the other side of the sewage and water board.
Yep.
And unfortunately for you, from a story standpoint, that's kind of the gift that keeps on giving in a negative way, though. Mm-hmm. Is that improving? I mean, are we getting somewhere where that's beginning to make more sense?
Absolutely. And thank you for asking in this regard.
Well, you didn't think I was going to let you out of here.
Oh, well, never. You know, you always hold my feet to the fire, and I appreciate that, especially on a cold day like today. But what I will say is that we are moving forward with an initiative. We're calling it Max Paving right now, where the Sewage and Water Board will own the entire job. You know, usually the Sewage and Water Board would come out, do the cut, fix the do the repair, fill it up with gravel. DPW would then have to come in and repave. Well, Sewage and Water Board now is owning the job from start to finish. And this is a partnership with DPW, but it speaks to the leadership and management that I've put in place. We have 4,973 of these gravel-filled holes throughout the city, and we've actually started last week with making sure that we're making those repairs happen.
And y'all are just going to handle the money due to, due from.
Yep.
You know, what the associative value is, and you're going to pay the sewage. It makes perfect sense.
DPW is going to pay for it. We're responsible for it. But we're cutting out the red tape. Sewage and Water Board is owning the job from start to finish. And I have to give kudos to our executive director of the Sewage and Water Board, Mr. Ghassan Corbin, who's hit the ground running on this full steam ahead.
Yeah, I mean, it's a lot easier just to figure out the money in the aftermath of it on a do-to, do-from, as opposed to, you know, trying to coordinate these different workforces in what they're doing, especially when you keep in mind of the $2 billion that you're trying to spend down as it relates to the FEMA projects, right?
Absolutely, and I'm trying to spend that money before a disaster strikes again, and then the federal government says, you know, oh, you didn't do well the first time around, you know?
Right. All right, we're going to continue this conversation. We have Mayor LaToya Cantrell. We're talking about the 2019 presentation of the budget to the City Council as they go through that process for the upcoming fiscal year. We'll be right back after the break. Stay with us. This is Newell on WWL. We're back, and we're talking to Mayor LaToya Cantrell in a presentation of her 2019 budget. Mayor, I noticed that this is the first 2018 adopted total in 2018 and now 2019, the first years that the city reached over $1 billion complete total budget in expenditure.
Complete total, and that's also with the capital budget as well.
Right.
We're at 698 for general fund, about 480 million with capital. So it's getting us about 1.12.
On the expenditure side, for the most part, almost a standstill budget with some exceptions?
Standstill with some exceptions. This should be the last year that we'll have a carryover, simply because our administration started, you know, in May, half
right.
a year. But we will look to a zero budgeting practices coming in January, starting with our largest departments first, ensuring that results are aligned with the revenue. And you know, or we'll reshift or we'll shift those dollars to another area where we're seeing the needs are the greatest.
Not unlike a lot of other major cities around the country, I noticed a significant reduction in federal grants.
Big time. And I have to say, New Orleans truly did benefit, particularly in that post-Katrina environment. And even it helped us sustain our growth, even when other cities around the country, you know, were really falling below. But now, you know, the revenues are dwindling. They're diminishing significantly. And we've seen it from year to year. But I'm telling you, as we forecast into 19, looking into 20, we're working off of almost zero. But, you know, also it puts us into great practice with this one-time money. It previously would be baked in, you know, to your overall budget to where you're depending on one-time money. So I'm wanting to get us off of that type of process and make us be able to depend on the general fund money. And, of course, you use your one-time money in a way that can be reoccurring with creativity and innovation.
I did notice also, albeit a lot of positive things happening in the city, a fairly aggressive percentage increase in sales tax collections.
Yes.
And what do you attribute that to?
Well, we had over 18 million visitors over the past year coming to the city, which does impact, you know, our bottom line. Most of the revenue that we do receive is from sales tax, property tax. So that's a, you know, that's a part of it. But the majority is from sales tax.
And you see that, or do y'all have any economic forecasts as to where that's going over the next 3 to 4 years? I, like you, I mean, I go around the city on the weekends, and I'm just completely amazed by how many people are in the Warehouse District, the French Quarter, mm-hmm. the Marigny, the Bywater. I mean, it's just chock full of folks every weekend.
Every weekend. The projections show us they're very healthy. We're looking at a 2.5% growth, which that's even being conservative. And that's where I'm trying to stay. You know, I don't want to overpromise, but that's strong just with that 2.5. And so if we continue, you know, to make strides in public safety, infrastructure, cleaning up our city, economic development will happen and be much more stronger for the future of the city.
Several years back, the Inspector General did a report on the blighted homes and putting them back into the stream of commerce for non-payment of property taxes. And there was a report that was issued periodically as to how many blighted homes, how many had been cleaned up. That seems to still be a huge challenge for the city.
It's a huge challenge. We have over 28,000 blighted properties and overgrown lots in the city. I am really looking to push those properties back into commerce, being more creative around cleaning up some of these areas where development has occurred to help these areas reach a tipping point so where the market will take care of themselves. But with this trash and these overgrown lots, if we don't take action, it really is working against us, even to move them into commerce, allowing for lien waivers. We have done that in the past, but I'm really looking to beef up that initiative as well.
Hey, I mean, if you can deal with the lien waiver in order to put it back into the stream of commerce, because it really has eroded your tax base.
That's right.
And oftentimes I've wondered whether or not we have an adequate tax base already if we just manage what we have better.
Well, if we manage what we have better, and if we also look to change a little bit so that the city can get a little bit more of truly what's generated in the city of New Orleans.
Right. We'll continue this conversation after the break. Stay with us. Mayor LaToya Cantrell, the presentation of her 2019 budget, talking all things in the city. We'll be right back after the break. This is Newell on WWL. We're back, and joining us is Mayor LaToya Cantrell, the mayor of the city of New Orleans, and her 2019 budget. One of the things, Mayor, that in budget priority area number 4, quality of life initiatives, where you talked earlier about this holistic approach where you're trying to deal with the enforcement side, obviously, is necessary, but also
Absolutely.
At the same time to talk about some other things that are going on that try and improve people's lives and get more cheerleaders for the city, obviously.
Well, you know, it goes back to breaking down these departmental silos and literally cleaning up the city of New Orleans. We had a culture to where really some of our departments weren't even talking. We found, you know, 5 vac trucks that Sewage and Water Board had that we didn't know, but it's like, hey, we're all in this truly together. And so that is what we're embracing now. So we're not looking at the departments looking at their own budget. They're seeing how it can be leveraged, the resources can be leveraged across the board, therefore improving the daily quality of life of people. Even, you know, as it relates to just overall cleaning it up from the streets, even what's happening in our homes. We've embraced Cure Violence, an initiative to where we're reaching out to our residents and having them be able to come to us if they have a young person who they just cannot control. They need some help. And, you know, parents, it's tough parenting. And it does take a village. And so we're creating those avenues to where we can, with the youth and families, the Office of Youth and Families, can have a direct approach with meeting people where they are and helping them through some challenges that they're having. Domestic violence is an issue in our city. What's happening in our homes seems to be manifesting themselves on the street. So it will take a holistic approach to address it. But we feel like it's a step in the right direction.
Mayor, when we talk about any number of issues and some of the phone calls that I get on the show, a lot of it's specific to New Orleans East. And I know New Orleans East, you know, took a huge brunt of what happened in the aftermath of Katrina and has probably been the slowest as it relates to re-energizing itself and new growth there. And a lot of folks are concerned.
Well, and you know what? They have been given a reason to be concerned because the redevelopment and growth has not been at the same pace as we've seen in other areas in the city. And that's why New Orleans East is a top priority for my administration. Over the past 6 months, I've been laser focused on that. I have a consultant in place that's doing a thorough assessment on key public parcels of property in New Orleans East that we can incentivize and therefore move them into commerce with some real development that people want to see and be a part of. That's the, whether it's the plaza, whether it is also that Grand Theater. I'm looking to foreclose on that parcel. It's upside down. The developers there owe the city $24 million. It's like Monopoly money, and it's I call it an armpit, you know, in the heart of New Orleans East. But we will see some growth and changes in New Orleans East. Also, tailoring this cleanup NOLA speaks to the East, you know, cleaning and greening these lots, improving the conditions off that interstate and even on the interstate, dealing with the middle ground. I call it that neutral ground on the interstate. Cleaning that up even, it sets the tone. The ingress and egress when you get off of the interstate needs to be clean. But I'm also holding agencies accountable who have responsibility for the railways, cleaning up the railways, DOTD, cleaning up the ingress and egress as it relates to the interstate. So I'm trying to build partnerships with outside entities that have a responsibility to the city of New Orleans where they have not been held accountable.
And I think you're spot on that because I see a lot more DOTD activity in the greater Baton Rouge area than I see in the greater New Orleans area. I may be wrong, but it's just
that's enough.
What I've seen.
And especially with the city of New Orleans having over 18 million visitors come through in the past year, the activity we know is here. If we get the resources necessary and leverage them, then we will be better off. We have to clean this city up.
Now, I know you got to get to another news agency, but thank you for coming and visiting with us today. We really appreciate it.
Thank you.
We hope to see you again soon.
Anytime.
All
I appreciate
right.
you.
It's Mayor LaToya Cantrell, presentation of the 2019 budget. We'll be right back after the break.